Doheny Beach was just south of Dana Point, which is a real affluent area. Very nice. It was nice over there. I had a great time. But when I was sitting on the beach, the Lord, I felt 10 years ago, I left that area. I had been working over there, and I was totally in the world. I wasn't walking with Jesus. I was a pagan. I was doing everything the world was doing. And then I came here, you know, and met Irene. Irene helped me come back to the Lord. And over 10 years, I've been walking with the Lord and getting close to Him. So on the beach, I was looking around. And even though I liked it, there was a difference. That point of contact 10 years ago, being there, I was empty then, hollow. And now I'm full of Christ. And that difference in that 10-year period, it was really powerful to me. That I looked around, I seen all these people, and I had a burden. All these people, they were in the world, and I don't know how many of them know Jesus, probably not very many of them. They're having fun. And a lot of the little ones, they're not empty because they haven't reached that point yet. But I just had this God epiphany that I was just so happy that Jesus brought me back into the kingdom, and that I wasn't hollow and empty anymore. And all the young people that are out there watching this, if you turn away from the Lord like I did when I was young and I went into the world and I lived my whole life, knock yourself out. You'll be hollow and empty your whole life. Jesus is the only one that can fill you.
Yeah.
The only one.
Amen.
Money.
Amen.
Sex, cars, boats, surfing. None of that can fill you. I'm telling you. And when I was over there, I was looking in the people's faces in the stores. I saw a lot of emptiness.
Yeah.
A lot of emptiness.
Yeah.
Even though all that money and all the fame and all that stuff, without Jesus, there's nothing. So just hang in there with Him. Amen. That's all I got to say.
You know what I hear when you share that is how the promise in Joel where He says, I will redeem the years of loss. I'll redeem the years of corruption. You know, that the cankerworm and the locusts have eaten away. And now that's prophetic imagery to us, you know. Obviously, if you were a farmer and the locusts came and ate your crops, that would be bad times. But I'm just saying, some of us know that we've seen that happen in our lives. We look back and we own the years. And I love some of the newer translations. We say redeeming the years, and a lot of times people don't totally grasp that, but I love what some of the newer translations say. I will make up to you for the years.
Yes.
Amen? In other words, that's what He does when He redeems. You know, He not only just kind of pulls you back out of it, but just like when you went back, and there's nothing wrong with what y'all did. I know you had a wonderful, relaxing time, but it is a reminder to you of where you are now. He's making up to you for those years, you know. And I think we've all could say, you know, I could have come to Jesus a little earlier than I did, right? I mean, I was 20, but I still, you know, I was thinking of the energy and the zeal that I poured into my life as a teenager in the music scene and all that I was into. And I realized, God takes those things and He uses it now for His glory. But anyway, I always believe that no matter what season of life you're in, God in His redemptive power wants to make up to us for the loss, for the destruction, for the hurt, for the pain. And when He makes it up, and I've asked the Lord, I said, Lord, even as a Christian, I've been saved, you know, I've been praying, I still pray that way. Because I even look back as a believer and see there's times when, you know, I didn't give my all, or I didn't walk in the fullness of what He had for me. And so even in that, you know, even as a Christian, He still redeems those times when we weren't living the abundant life. You know, we weren't walking in it at all times. I appreciate you. I was asking Him earlier, you know, would you like to share that? And he goes, I don't think it's powerful enough. And you know what? Anybody can relate to that. Amen? We can all relate to that. So that is powerful. So I bless you, brother. Not rebuking you in front of everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, trying to teach her how to surf. Yeah. I told Marvin, I think it, at my age, I think I'd probably be done.
Yeah.
I don't think I can learn how to surf right now. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. I have to stay away from ice cream or something. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Bennett's love ice cream.
Yeah, if I got into the, yeah. Oh, we had a wonderful time with our kids yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a great time, and they're all waterlogged and wrinkly this morning.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good time, and God's good, man. God's got so much in plan in store for us, and it's good just to enjoy fellowship and be with one another, and hallelujah. Those times are always worth it. Just to real quickly update you on this week. Now, you guys are, your ladies' thing is Thursday this week, right? So we're going to do Friday night prayer again this week.
Okay.
And then on a Saturday morning, the men are gathering at 9. So, and what we're going to try to do is be sent. So always pay attention, you know, keep up with the calendar. We always try to make notices out when we do, you know, the prayer and worship night will always be fluid. It'll always just kind of float around. I mean, you know, and we're a size church. We can pull that off and still let everybody know. But we're trying to be sensitive to other people's schedules so that you can be a part of that. And, of course, when you can't make it, you can always. And always, I've had people tell me they weren't even able to watch it live, but they'll watch it later. And they just pray and enter in with it, and it's just as powerful. Everything that was imparted is just as powerful. Amen?
Amen.
So take advantage of that. Thank God we got the technology to do that. And be here when you can. Amen? Be here when you can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, glory. God's good. Amen?
Amen.
I want to share with you. The Lord spoke to me earlier in the week. And he said, "Tell my people, I still need them to be still." And I'm like, and know that I am God. How many of you know when things happen in the world, you know, it seems like, let's be honest, you kind of get over one hump and then something else seems to be waiting on you. And the Lord just told me, he said, just be still and know that I've got this. I'm God. I'm in control. Amen.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage you with that. And I want to share a couple of things that I feel like are important for us, especially coming from this perspective that, I will say this. I'm a child of being born in the 50s and, you know, growing up in the 60s and 70s. And so, you know, some of the things that the world was going through, like Martin Luther King was assassinated in my city that I lived in, and the civil rights movement and all the things, the upheavals and turmoils that were going on, the Vietnam War. Whether you agreed with it or didn't agree with it, and so many young men were dying, and women were dying in that. And so anyway, there's been a lot that's going on, and it seems it's cyclical. And I do believe we're at the end of the age. Everybody hear my heart. But I don't necessarily believe that it's like, you know, getting ready to close the door tomorrow or something like that. Because I've seen this before. I've lived long enough to see some times when everybody thought, well, surely, he's getting ready to part the eastern sky like right now. And come Lord Jesus, Maranatha. But we've got to learn how to live in the victory today and stay on point and stay on assignment as kingdom people. Would you agree? And so that's one of the most difficult things to do sometimes, to allow things to not just completely overwhelm us. Though there are some unique things we're dealing with right now in the world and in our country that are very unique and could be another precursor of things to come. Here's the thing. Jesus said something that I wish it wasn't in the scripture, but he said, just know this is the beginning of birth pangs. Well, we all know birth pangs mean they're going to get more intense and they're going to get closer together. So he basically said, just, you know, buckle your seatbelt, boy, because, you know, put your big boy pants on, because we're going to have to ride this out. And so we do begin to realize that, and we see some things that are going on. And just even geopolitically, I'm telling you, there's a lot of signs. So anyway, the thing is, again, we have to stay on point and understand and live for eternity, but live for eternity with also a commitment to being devoted for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake. Those are the two things he asked of us as his disciples. So anyway, so let me just share with you what the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. Jesus promises in his word, we talked about this last week, that he gives us peace, right? My peace I what? Leave with you. My peace I give to you. And in this peace, he was able to say, this peace that I give you, which is not like the kind of peace you get from the world, this peace will actually cause you to be able to not allow your heart to be troubled or fearful. So, how many, would you agree with me? If I'm troubled or fearful, then I'm really not in his peace.
That's right.
That doesn't mean he took it away from me. I love the word leave.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I looked it up. It means leave. It literally means I gave it to you. Now, whether you live in it, operate in it. Amen. We're in the land of the living. Now, you can live in the land of the living or you can be miserable in the land of the living. We got to make that choice on that. Amen. But don't let your hearts be troubled. How many of you figured this out? The enemy, for many of us, he will tempt us from time to time. But as you've walked with the Lord, as you mature, certain things, he used to push buttons in you that don't work anymore. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
But he does like to trouble us. He likes to trouble us. He likes to frustrate us, cause fear to come, or cause heaviness to come. You know, that spirit of heaviness that comes through disappointments, would you agree? And also, let's be honest, through the uncertainties of life in this world. For many of us, you know, we've grown up, you didn't, living in America, you weren't ever really feeling a lot of uncertainty. There was trouble in times, but you never felt like there was such a dramatic shift in things like we're sensing now. And so, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here today. I'm not trying to, you know, magnify the enemy or anything like that. But we got to face the reality. Here's the thing. The devil wants the problem to be our focus. And I've seen many in the body of Christ, their focus is more on the problems or problem than on what happens when you focus on anything, it becomes magnified, right? The more you talk about it, the more you lift it up, the more it literally becomes, instead of magnify the Lord with me, let's magnify the devil together.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful of that. Would you all agree? I've talked so long in my introduction that my iPad shut down. Okay, all right. But whatever we focus on, remember that. Whatever you focus on becomes magnified. Now, how many of you know, for example, if your body is hurting, that's hard to not focus on that, right? If there's something that's like in your face, it's hard to not focus on it. But you can focus on Jesus, right? Because we need to be in faith. Now, I'm not saying we're to be clueless about what's going on or we're to act like nothing's happening. That's not when the situation, the giant, the storm, whatever, the mountain is in front of you, whatever it may be, what do you want to describe prophetically as the imagery of what's going on? The key for us is to not shrink back from our faith. Amen? To not shrink back. Or as Paul told his son in the Lord, Timothy, don't allow your faith to shipwreck. I mean, you started well, you set sail, but be careful. There's rocks, there's reefs you can't run up on, and you've got to be able to recognize those things. So I'm not saying we're clueless, but we're just not obsessed with it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I see a lot of people in the body of Christ, and that's one of the reasons they have no peace. They have no peace. They can't even sleep. I have people tell me they can't sleep. Can't believe this is stirring up again, and that's happening again, and this is going on. And I found I had to disengage. I had to disengage my heart from a lot of things. And again, I pay attention, but even in that, you've got to be careful. Even in saying you're paying attention, you've got to be careful that we don't lose the main focus. Okay? With that in mind, I want to share with some very familiar verses with you. But I think in this context, I believe you'll see some things new. Acts 3:19, Peter's closing his message, and he makes the declaration that I quote to you all the time, "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away." Hallelujah. Amen? In order that, here's why, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until when? The period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient time. We should be contending in faith for God's promises to be restored. For God's prophetic words, even those ancient prophecies, to be restored. I mean, that's what we should be contending for in our faith. Instead of becoming obsessed with what the enemy's doing,
right.
I ought to be contending for what God intends
that's
to do.
Right?
Right? And that's the difference. And you know, again, what does it say? Isaiah, though darkness covers the earth, though deep darkness is on the peoples, what does he promise? The glory of the Lord will shine on you and me. But it won't shine on you and me if I'm obsessed with the darkness. If all I can talk about is how dark it is out there, right? Then suddenly glory can't shine through that. He wants you to shine in the darkness. He wants me to shine in the darkness. But he wants us to shine because I'm not obsessed with it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And guys, this can apply on a national level, a church-wide level, a kingdom level, and even down to your personal life and in your own home and family. It can apply to anything that we might be going through. Amen? Now, as we await this period of restoration of all things, all these prophetic things that have been spoken, you even find that there's some ancient prophecies spoken under another covenant, but they still are going to find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, right? It had a fulfillment like for Israel, but now we're seeing it applies to the church. It applies to Zion, you know, the church today. And it's an amazing thing when you see all of that. But interesting, he also promises, as much as he says that, he promises times, plural, times of refreshing. Are we agree?
Yes.
And what else? He's going to come back for us. Don't forget that. He's coming back for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's coming back for us. That ought to make somebody say hallelujah. But two things I want you to note there. Would you agree to me? We must need the refreshing of His presence.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Amen.
We need that. Hallelujah. I like the manifest presence, which is the glory. Amen? And that's the glory. We know He's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But there's times when you're in the midst of a battle, even though you know He's not forsaking you, you need something that refreshes you.
Yes.
Amen? God does something very, very special. And I love the fact, the second thing I want you to note here is we obviously need this more than once.
Oh yeah.
Because He said times of refreshing. Amen? What is it? What did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit will become a well within us, flowing up. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, the well is always there. Your heart and my heart and life is to be a wellspring.
Amen.
Of living water unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, His call to us is in every season to repent and return when we need to. Amen?
Amen.
And then come and be refreshed. And if I could add to that, and get your eyes on Jesus. Because if I needed to be called back to repent and return, then my eyes are on the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's right?
Right?
Yeah.
Hello? So I've got to get my eyes back on the Lord. Amen? And get my eyes on Him because of the... You know, I've lived here 15 summers now. I'm still alive. No. 15 summers in the desert. And one thing I've learned, in June, you can bank on it, it's going to be... That's the extreme heat month, really.
Yeah.
That's when it's dry as a bone. Right? I look on my phone, it's 6, 7, 8% humidity.
Yeah.
And I'm from Memphis.
Yeah. Oh, my.
That's not even possible in Memphis.
Right.
And 6 to 8% humidity, and then we'll have those extreme heat days.
Right.
You know, they get up in the mid-teens, 100 and teens and stuff like that every day. Thank God they're just for a few days and we get back to normal, 112.
Yeah.
You know, and woo! Get me a sweater, please. It's 112 today, man. Fire up the heater, you know. And then when the monsoons come in, humidity, right? But how many of you know if it wasn't for that moisture, we'd be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
The mountains would be burnt to the ground by now. Anyway, I don't know about you, but you know what I notice more than anything? When I go out and I look at my massive backyard, that's a joke. But when I look at my grass, it's always so... You know, I irrigate it, and it's not enough. How many of you noticed that?
Yeah.
I irrigate my yard, and it still barely stays alive in June,
yeah,
into early August. But I'm telling you, the minute God's rains fall on it, the minute,
yeah,
almost the next day, you guys even saw it.
Yeah.
They saw it.
Yeah.
It got green, and it just came alive. How many of you know that's what God wants to do to you and I?
Yeah.
Amen. He wants to irrigate us with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. I love it, that immediate response. You know, there's all kinds of prophetic scriptures that say the desert will bloom and rejoice. And I used to think, well, how can the desert? God brings rivers into the desert. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, but I know I've told this story before, but it's a good one. When I lived in Tempe, we lived in the front of a cove. We had a cool house, but not cool in the summertime, but anyway. The front yard was just rocks, typical desert landscape, so beautiful, just rocks. And then out back, though, I had a beautiful pool and grass on either side. And, of course, that grass would struggle in June.
Yeah.
And then when the monsoons came, it would start, you know, getting nice and green. Not Memphis green, but close.
Yeah.
And but what upset me was, I mean, overnight in my front yard with the rocks, the weeds would pop up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like... Just like somebody sowed that in there.
Yeah.
How many know that was sown in there a long time ago?
Right.
Amen. But that rain, how many of you know sometimes the rains bring stuff out that you didn't know were there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Susan and I would have to make it part of our plan to get out there together and try to pull these things up and you know, and get them out from the root. Because, man, it wouldn't last any time. But I would just be amazed at what water does. So everybody say, times of refreshing. We all need it. Amen? Would you agree? Even the weeds need it, obviously. Hallelujah. Go meet at Hebrews 12. I love these verses that follow the great chapter of faith. All of our patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith. These men and women who make up what we call the cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Amen? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing, or some translations say, focusing our eyes on who? Jesus, because He is the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Everybody say faith. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising. How many know Jesus had to be focused? Amen? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe Jesus was looking at the hope that He was going to bring many sons to glory. This was going to be worth it. Amen? He saw you and me. He saw the redeemed. He saw His family. He said, I can do this. But He had to focus on that. Amen? Glory be to God. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So I guess I could stop right here, but I won't. But I could stop right here and say, in good times and bad times, we're to focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Would we agree?
Amen.
When you need to reactivate your faith, you have to focus on Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. When you're feeling weary, you need to focus on Jesus.
Yes.
When you're feeling hopelessness or feeling despair and you just lose heart, want to, as we say, throw in the towel, the only answer I've got for you is focus on Jesus. Yes. Not on me. Not on even your spouse. Focus on Jesus. When you need to finish strong and finish in faith and get the job done, focus on Jesus. Amen. Because He's also the same God who authorized your faith is the same God who will finish it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, go with me over to Revelation 19. Again, these are verses I quote at you a lot. We don't always look at them, but sometimes it's good to see it with your eyes. In Revelation 19:10, this is the verse where the angel has been showing John these marvelous things in the book of Revelation. And John is just compelled to fall on his face and worship before the angel. How many of you know that's a no-no? Right?
Yeah.
And so the angel says, it said in verse 19:10, I fell at His feet to worship Him, but He said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Okay? Worship.
God.
Say it. God. Amen? In other words, you need to be focusing on God, not on this angel. Hello?
Yeah.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Notice that. The very essence of all true prophecy is about Jesus. Do y'all understand that?
Yeah.
Even those ancient prophetic words, when you have the Holy Spirit and the anointing, you can understand how that's talking about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yep.
Very important. And that's how they get their fulfillment. Everything is summed up in Jesus. Hebrews tells us that Jesus, this is how the book begins. God spoke through His prophets in many ways, but today, in these last days, He speaks to us through His Son. Amen? Clarity came when Jesus came. Amen? Clarity came to everything. And here's how Hebrews describes it. Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact representation of the Father's nature, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. I love that. In Him, all things were created. Think about that. He is the Alpha, and He is the Omega. Amen? And Jesus is to come to where He has preeminence or first place in everything. Think about that. In every area of our lives, especially in the church, and one day in this whole world.
Amen.
Even the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and King.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
This is the Jesus we're focusing on. It's very important. So we need to refresh our consciousness. Would you agree? I mean, that, you know, you have the refreshing as in being revitalized and all of that, but there's also in the refreshing in the sense of your focus. You know, on computer screens and all, we've talked about this, but computer screens and all, you know, if that window hasn't been refreshed in a while, you might be surprised what's on it when you refresh it, right? You realize, man, I've been looking at old news. Right? You refresh that screen. You bring it back up to real time, to now time, truth time. And that's what God's wanting us to do. He's wanting to refresh us. And we need that because our perspective is so important. Paul told his son in the Lord, Timothy, he said, all these prophecies that have been spoken over you, he said, I want you to fight the good fight for these prophecies, right? By keeping faith, we all know that, but also having a good conscience. And in that, it literally means it would be, I like it this way, a good prophetic perspective on things. Because when there's a storm, if you lose perspective, you might shipwreck, right?
Right?
You know, I love the story of Paul. He's on the merchant ship, destined to go stand before Caesar, fulfill his destiny to stand before Caesar, right? And give testimony of Jesus. Remember that? And this boat ends up sinking, right? After Paul warned him, let's not set sail today. This isn't going to go well. Well, it didn't go well, right? But he ends up on Malta, floating in on planks of the ship, right? And Paul gets out and he starts helping with the fire. The people that lived on the island of Malta were making a fire for them and welcoming them, thinking these poor guys. And then Paul reaches in and grabs some wood for the fire and a viper comes out and attaches to his arm. And you know what he did? He just flung it off. Amen? He just shook it off into the fire. And now they're waiting around for Paul to drop dead. I've told y'all this before, but they were waiting for Paul to drop dead. Suddenly he went from being a cursed man in their eyes to being a god. And of course, you know, Paul had to deal with that. But anything, when it's all said and done, a complete healing revival breaks out on the island of Malta. And when he sets sail a couple of months later, he goes and finishes his death. See, you've got to keep a perspective. He knew. I may not understand this detour. I think he did understand because he knew that these guys didn't take the prophetic advice that God was giving, right?
Right.
Don't set sail today. You're setting into a perfect storm. So sometimes, but even in that, God could take what the enemy would try to detour you. God could still make it a point of revival and for the kingdom of God to break out. Amen?
Amen.
And he fulfilled his destiny. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
I mean, that's the key. We got to stay focused on the right thing and all that we're called to do. Hallelujah. Amen? And one thing about refreshing and resetting our focus that's important, it helps us, another computer term, we can reboot our faith. How many know sometimes we need a reboot? Oh, come on. Almost every time I pray and fast, it's because I've got to get back in faith about something because my faith is kind of shut down, right? The circumstances got me so distracted, I even quit believing for it. And God had to kind of shake me up a little bit and said, boy, activate your faith again. Amen? Reboot that computer. Amen? And get back in faith with God. I believe this is what happened to Martha. You know, Jesus shows up. She's upset. Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. We all know the story, right? And she basically is debating with him this whole way. When they end up in front of Lazarus' tomb and Jesus asks for the stone to be removed, she protests again. You know, the place smells okay right now, but it won't be after you move that stone, right? And Jesus gets her attention. I don't know. I love the heart of our Lord that's expressed here because I would have just told Martha, said, get out of my face. I'm done with you, woman. Woman, be removed from me. But he didn't. He said, did I not say to you, if you only believe, everybody say that, only believe and you will see the glory of God. So it is important that you and I believe. It's important that you and I are in faith. Amen? God gets blamed for a lot of things, but nobody was in faith for anything. So why are we blaming him for what the devil does? Amen. I've never understood that kind of logic. It's not logical at all. Amen.
I never figured that out.
Yeah. Peter steps out of the boat. His eyes are on Jesus, right? Right? And his eyes are on a word. Because he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Now remember, it's storming. Winds are blowing. Jesus comes walking to him. Some of them think it's a ghost. And so Peter goes, well, I got one surefire way to find that out. Lord, if it's you, it might not be, but if it's you, bid me to come. And all he heard was, come. Now he's like, now what do I do? what if it's you, fly over here? Anything but, and he steps out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
Y'all know what happened, don't you? He started to look at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. But you know, a lot of people talk about, well, the fact that when's the last time you walked on water? Well, I know of a man that walked on water. Not only the Son of Man, Jesus, but Peter walked on water. It doesn't say how long he walked. I don't know if he walked 5 steps or 5 minutes. I don't know. I'm sure when he started to sink, all the guys in the boat that wouldn't get out of the boat were probably having a field day. Well, there you go, dummy. You know, who thought you... But, you know, he was walking on the water. He was walking in faith. But can I tell you this? That storm, the wind and the waves that distracted him were there when he stepped out. I mean, you know, sometimes we act like, oh boy, the enemy really came against me. He was already coming against you. Everything was already against your situation when you started out. Stay in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And can I say to everybody today, if you've sunk before, and we've all sunk, amen, our Lord's faithful because he didn't come over to Peter and put his sandal on his head and shove him down. Too bad, boy. You should have believed me. No. He reached down and brought him up. Hallelujah. Because we'd all be at the bottom of the ocean with Peter right now. Going, man, that didn't work out right. That wasn't exactly how I thought it would happen. Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you all agree with me? There's no doubt things are troubling right now in life in general. In our country, in the world, the pandemic, the virus. You know, don't get me started. But we're seeing more and more of those signs. And I know I've said this 100 times, but it doesn't take anybody one bit of spirituality to know that we're closer to the end than anybody else has ever been.
Right?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So some of those scriptures about the end of the age really apply to us.
Yes.
What I want to encourage you with today, we can't ignore faith principles and think that we're just going to blow through it. Right? We can't ignore those principles or violate them and not think that it's going to have an impact on us, especially in this time in which we live. Would y'all agree with me? We could all use a spiritual eye exam.
Yeah, we could.
Like, what are you focused on? Right? Get the cloudiness out of the way. Get the focus on the right thing again. And I think we need that. Because if we're at the end of the age, and we certainly are closer than anybody, then we need to have a end of the age type viewpoint.
Yeah.
All right? Now, hear me. I'm not talking about living to get escape. That's where we get in trouble.
Right.
I'm not talking about living to just escape. We will escape one day.
Yeah.
We will escape the wrath to come. Okay? But that's not what I'm focused on. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
My focus is on destiny and purpose. Amen?
Yeah.
Which is, again, Christ's namesake and the Gospels.
Yeah. Yes.
And reaching the lost. I mean, to all nations, and then the end shall come. Hallelujah?
Yeah.
That's what it's about. So I want to give you 7 things I want to exhort you about, but I also want to challenge you as like an exam. Are you ready? Because I don't know about you, but I want to walk in peace. Amen? I want to walk in faith. You might say, well, how can those two come together? They can. Because if you don't have those two together, you'll walk in fear.
Right.
And you can't walk in fear and walk in faith. Now, some of these things I'm going to mention may not apply to you. You might go, well, that's not an issue for me. Well, that's okay. But I'm sharing these 7 things today because I see this as I talk to people throughout the body of Christ. You ready? The first one is this. We should be focused on preparing for Jesus, our coming bridegroom, and not focus on the Antichrist. Have y'all ever met Christians? They're obsessed with it. Number one, the Antichrist spirit was released at the beginning of the church age. Actually, the Antichrist spirit was in the world when Jesus started to walk around as the Christ. The spirit of the Antichrist is already out there. But yes, we should be wise, we should be discerning, but it's not to be our obsession.
Amen?
I don't want to stand before the Lord and go, well, I identified who that Antichrist was. It was about the 13th or 14th time, but I got it right finally. Hello?
Yeah.
Are y'all seeing where I'm going? Again, what I'm focusing on is my soon coming bridegroom king. Amen? That's what I'm focusing on. I want to have the oil of intimacy in my lamps, and I want to be burning brightly when he comes. Amen? I want to know him and him to know me. Amen? Okay. Anybody pass the first exam question? Okay. Second one. Are you ready for this? As the redeemed of the Lord, we're all redeemed. I think I know everybody in the room. We're all born again, saved, right? As the redeemed of the Lord, we should be focused on the blood of the Lamb rather than the mark of the beast.
That's good.
In some churches, I'd already be asked to leave right now. It's all people want to talk about. Could this mark, could this be the mark of the beast or that or whatever? And I'm going, please. What's the most important thing? Are you washed in the blood? Are you marked by the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's going to be my mark. Hallelujah. I don't want to be some obsessed with the mark of the beast or whatever that I miss out on it. Amen. We overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. So that's important. Excuse me. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay. Question three, or comment three, whatever. Exam three. As His disciples, we should be focused. Notice I keep saying focused on His Word. Would you agree?
Amen.
On His Word by prayerfully and continuing in the Word of God, abiding in the Word of God. Instead of, are you ready? Being glued to social media.
Yeah. Okay.
Or any kind of media. Internet, secular TV. I like to put it this way, the talking heads of our society. I'm not saying you're not going to ever hear anything else. I'm just saying that shouldn't be your focus. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
Your focus is the Word.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
But that'll get fear out in a moment. It'll just get fear driven out. The solidifying yourself in this. Well, I know the perfected love does, but you know what? I find out how much He loves me when I'm abiding in the Word. I go, wow. He really does got this. Amen? He's got this under control. We need to refresh our vision. I know I've said this before too, but you need to start facing His book. Talk about Facebook. How about facing His book? Amen? Amen? Put your face in this book. How about FaceTime? Why don't we FaceTime the Lord? He says, seek my face. When you worship and pray, you're seeking His face. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all got that? So next time you hear Facebook, I don't want you to grab your phone. Oh, somebody's looking for me on Facebook. I do it too. Come on, I'm repenting. But we ought to be facing this book. Amen. Amen. And FaceTiming with Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Well, people are still here. That's awesome. Okay. Bill just ran out to go check his phone, but I was like, no, just kidding. The fourth thing, you ready? Your eye exam's not over. There's only seven. As His faithful laborers, so we all want to be His faithful laborers, amen?
Yes.
Those who volunteer freely in the day of His power, we must be focused on the ready harvest, okay? Instead of, ready for this? Instead of the barrenness we've experienced.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? And the apostasy we've seen in our generation. How many of you know, the more you think about the people that didn't get saved and the people that have fallen away, it is depressing.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
I constantly see articles about, you know, where are the believers? Where are they gone in this generation and all of that? And I'm telling you guys, we can't focus on that. That's a reality, but there's a higher reality and that God is going to get a harvest from all nations. Amen?
Right.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love what Isaiah, we won't turn there, but you know the verse where Isaiah spoke to a barren person, a barren woman, and said, shout for joy, O barren woman. You who have borne no child, shout for joy and break forth with joyful shouting.
Amen.
So how do you know? You got to get your focus on the right thing. I'm not barren anymore. We're not barren anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Apostasy's not going to touch this house or touch our harvest field. Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's got it. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples? He said, guys, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields that they are ripe on the harvest, right? Now, it wasn't like those guys had hoods over their head or blinders on. He didn't say, uncover your eyes. He said, lift up your eyes and see. See, we could see the wrong thing. You either see a good land that's ripe for harvest or you curse it, right? And some people curse the whole generation. Oh, yeah, man, this generation, man, they're... They're lost as a goat. Well, I think lost goats have a real destiny to be saved goats. Amen. To be saved lambs. Amen. Are y'all with me? My point is the harvest was already before them, but they were distracted because they were going through stuff. Amen. You chose to go follow Jesus. I got news for you. Nobody in town was in your corner. Amen. Except people that wanted to come and get healed and stuff and get set free. But outside of that, the whole religious structure of their culture was against them.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so that had to be a huge distraction. They'd been like, Lord, can we just get out of here? And then he says, well, let's go to Samaria. No, Lord, we didn't mean that. Right? And so you got to keep your eyes on the harvest. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Number five. As his royal priesthood. How many of you are part of his royal priesthood? Amen. If you're born again, you are. We should be focused. Say focused. On worship and prayer. Amen. Seeking the Lord. Ministering unto the Lord. Interceding for these nations. Interceding. Amen. Praying. That all of us will be a faithful witness. Amen. Rather than. Here goes. You ready? Rather than focusing on when is the rapture coming?
Yeah.
Hello? Because if all I'm thinking about is the rapture, I ain't thinking about the harvest. I'm not even praying about the harvest. Right?
Yeah.
We already talked about laboring in the harvest, but what about the fact that we're so focused? Well, here's the thing for me. When that's all I'm obsessed with, then all I want to do is escape. And I'm not talking about finishing purpose, destiny. The plan of God for my life and my generation, right? It said when David was laid to rest, he had served the purposes of God in his generation. It's in Acts 13. I love that. I don't know about you. I've said this 100 times also. This is a big repeat Sunday. But I've said this so many times, but I want that on my tombstone. If Jesus doesn't come before I go into eternity, I would like it to be said that he served the purposes of God. Wouldn't you like to?
Yeah.
Amen? Whatever you might want to say about Rick Bennett, at least he served God's purposes. Amen? That's what I want to be said about. My focus is the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? And not the day and hour of the rapture and the coming king. He said we wouldn't know that. Why do we? It blows my mind. He said we won't know. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I don't know. Only the Father. And then people write books and sell millions of copies. Predicting the day of the coming of the Lord. And you know what's so sad? The rapture and the coming of Jesus is real. But everybody else kind of goes, yeah, you guys have been talking about that. You know, there's verses that talk about that. They've been saying, you've been talking about His coming forever. You know, for generations. And unfortunately, the obsession has brought us to the wrong place. You know, we've talked about Psalm 2 a lot. Beginning with 2020, right? How the nations are in an uproar and coming against the Lord and His anointed, and how the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs, but He will soon terrify them in His fury. Right? We've all seen that. And then it says this, so I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said unto me, today you are my son. Right? But then He says this, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. See, that's the power of that psalm. In other words, the Lord says, yeah, there's a lot of uproar. There's a lot going on right now. But your focus and heart ought to be, Lord, give us the nations.
Yes.
Give us men and women from every church. When I pray over this metro area, I said, Lord, let us have a representation of the harvest from every tribe and every tongue and every nation represented in this metro area and in the state of Arizona. Amen.
Amen.
And on the Apache Res and on the Navajo. I love to pray. I said, Lord, let you see your harvest. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus gave a parable. We won't turn there. You know what? It's in Luke 18 where He was encouraging us to pray at all times and not lose heart. And in it, He gives the story of the woman who was crying before the unjust judge. Remember? And basically because of her persistence, the judge finally ruled in her favor. But then Jesus said, He promised us as His elect that He would faithfully bring justice for us who cry out to Him day and night. It just means we pray without ceasing. And we pray before the Lord and He will bring justice. But then He says this interesting rhetorical question statement. He says this, however, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Now, how many of you know He's going to find faith on the earth when He comes? Because He's certainly not coming when nobody's in faith. But when He comes, will He find faith? And the part of the question is, will we be a part of that company that's standing in faith? Amen? When He comes. Y'all see that? Y'all see the difference?
Yeah.
Besides, you know, I'm just sitting on the side of a mountain with my bags packed waiting for the rapture. But am I in faith when He comes? Amen? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a rapture. But our focus is on being in faith.
That's right.
Praying, interceding, believing. Amen?
I
want to be about the Father's business when He comes. Amen? I don't want to be about something else. One more thing, I'll add to this really quick. Right after Jesus told them, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you're going to receive power being witnesses. They said, Lord, is it at this time? Now, he'd been with them for 40 days teaching the kingdom to them. And before he ascended to heaven the last time, he said to them, they said, Lord, is it at this time that Israel will be restored, the kingdom will be restored to Israel? Now, I mean, that time's going to happen. And he said, it's not for you to know the epochs and times that are set by my Father. And then he did this, he says, but you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, and you will be my witnesses. He took them right off. He got them right back on point. Do you see what he does? So if their focus was on just Israel being restored, they would have missed it. Now, we know prophetically we've seen some interesting things taking place with Israel, right?
Yeah.
And it could happen in our generation.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he said to them, guys, you got your eye on the wrong thing. And he literally said that. He didn't say, well, Israel won't have the kingdom restored to them. He didn't say that. He just said, no, no, no. It's not for you to know. And that's my heart. Some things are just not for us to know. That's why we walk in faith and walk by faith. If we had dates in this book, everybody would be really serious about their walk with God on the evening before His coming. Everybody be giving like crazy, serving like crazy, worshiping like crazy, right? Come on, you know it's true. It's human nature. But if I got a little time, that's the way I was as a young man. I got time. Right? I got time. Hello? Many of people have gotten saved like the thief on the cross. At the last minute. Thank God. If you make it, you can make it that way. But that ain't the way to live. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, number six. You ready for this one? As His church, are we all His church? All of us are His church. We must be focused, there it is again, on assembling together. And place a priority on being connected to one another. Get this now. I'm going to ruffle some more feathers. Rather than trying to walk out our faith disconnected from the body.
Yes, sir.
Because we weren't created to be disconnected. We were created to be connected. That's why He calls us a body. Amen? Let's look at the passage. Another passage we know well. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to what? To love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Probably one of my favorite things about assembling together is what it says in Ephesians, that when we are filled with the Spirit, when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and we make melody with our hearts to the Lord, the Bible says we're speaking to one another as we do that. How many of you get edified during worship? You know, it's the power of being together. And when you're never together, it's hard to get the benefit of that. And what God wants to do. There's something there. We need one another. Amen? Oh, magnify the Lord
with me.
Let us corporately exalt His name
together.
Everybody say together.
Together.
We need one another. And as we get closer to the end, we definitely need one another. Amen? There's an encouragement. There's a life. And frankly, there is a glory that you can't receive by yourself. I used to always think everything's in the secret place. I love the secret place. You should love the secret place.
Yes.
But that's not the only place.
That's right.
There's a reason that the Lord wants us to do this together. Amen? Amen? To be a part of a body. In fact, my gift, which is the description that Paul used of my part of function in the body as a body part, can't function by itself. You could take a perfectly good finger and cut it off from my hand, and it won't be a perfectly good finger very long, separated from the body. Right? That's how critical this is. And Paul went to great lengths. Of course, we have the great vision, you know, that Ezekiel had of the valley of the dry bones, right? And they were dry, very dry. And they began to rattle and come together when they prophesied to them. And as they came together, they stood up and formed a man. And then the Spirit of God came from the four winds and breathed life upon them. Life came in, and they were an exceedingly great army. And I'm telling you prophetically, there's going to be an exceedingly great army, but it has to be a connected army. It's got to be a connected army. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I encourage you, refocus on being joined and connected to the body of Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Assembling together as we see the end drawing near. Don't pull away from the body at the end.
Come on now.
Amen. But draw closer. All the more. Everybody say all the more.
All the more.
The last one. The last one is this of your eye exam. Those of us who are born of God, we must be focused, get this now, on the mystery of Christ, which is in us, rather than being focused on that which brings us fear. This is kind of a recap of all that we've talked about. Let me quickly share a few verses with you. Ready? 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He who is, say it, in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, go to verse 17 of that same chapter. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have what? Confidence in the day of judgment. Because, say it out loud, as he is, so also are we in this world. Do you see that? Now, Paul called it the mystery of the gospel.
Wow.
That's what he called this. This is the mystery. It's the fact that Christ is in us. Amen? Through the Holy Spirit. Right? Look what it says. He talks of it in Colossians 1:27. He says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, say it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All of these things that we have shared with you in your eye exam today are about focusing on Jesus. Amen? Focusing on Jesus. And how many of you know focus really is about priorities?
Yeah.
You got to place the priority there. Because God wants us to reboot our faith. He wants us to get the refreshing we need. But He also wants us to stay on point.
Amen.
A lot of people have asked me, well, how can you do that in a world like it is now? I have so much trouble focusing. Well, we all struggle with focusing. Amen? We all do.
Yeah.
But you know, things like this, Jesus said, don't fear, I have overcome the world.
That's right.
How many know that gives me hope?
Yeah.
Amen? Or how about, again, like a lot of people worry about, well, how much are we going to have to go through before He comes? Well, there's three different references that say, as we wait eagerly upon the Lord, knowing that He will rescue us from the wrath to come. So there's a point when things are poured out that He will have rescued us, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not here today to try to tell you when that is and what we will go through or won't go through.
Yeah.
The point is, we're going to have to go through it in faith.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to discourage you today. But here's the thing. Our God causes all things to work together for good. To who? Those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Probably my favorite, that we're not going to turn there, is Habakkuk 2:14. Here's what it says. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Wow.
That's never happened yet. But it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Think about that. And I'm kind of like going, okay, if I only have a mentality that, you know, torch this place, we're out of here. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, we're missing out on so much God wants to do. Okay? Now, the psalm that I quoted from to begin with, I want us to look at this psalm and we're going to pray. You ready? Psalm 46:1. We're going to look at the 11 verses really quickly. Psalm 46:1. Everybody got it? God is our refuge and strength. Amen? The worship team was singing that over us today. God is our refuge and strength, a very what?
Present
help when? When times are good. No, in trouble.
Come on, man.
In trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now get this, everybody. Though the earth should change. Is the earth changing?
Yes.
Nobody agrees about why it's changing. But don't tell me it ain't changing. And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then we have this interesting word the psalmist used, Selah, which means to stop, ponder, and reflect on what you just read or sang. Because they would be singing this, right? Stop and ponder and reflect on that. Okay? I mean, we need to get better at that. Did you notice today we had that time where we just kind of...
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And we need that. We need that. Yeah. We need to get better at that. The Lord had to teach that to me as a worship leader a long time ago. Like little subtle things by the Holy Spirit said, just would you just shut up a moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's subtle when you're trying to get Rick Bennett to do something. Look at verse 4. Oh, I love this. Get this, guys. There is a river. Everybody say a river.
River.
Whose streams make glad. In other words, it's a refreshing. Amen?
Amen?
Of the city of God. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. Amen? God will help her when morning dawns. Now the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. Get this. And the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Say that. The Lord of hosts is with us. Y'all know what that means. The angel armies are with us.
Amen.
Amen. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Amen. Remember, Jacob saw the first house of God in the dream, remember? Hallelujah. That's what he's reminding us of. He's the God of that ladder. Amen. And all the angels going up and down on it. Selah. Let that soak in a moment. Think about it. In times of trouble, when the storms are raging, take a pause in His presence. Amen. Take a pause. Chill. Amen. And drink from the river. The God of the angel armies will protect us. Woo! I think sometimes we just run right past the still waters. Right? We run right past the green pastures. Right? Come on. Verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord who has wrought, get this now, desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire.
Wow.
I'll just say this to you. God is the one who makes conflicts come to an end.
Yes, He is.
And it's not U.S. military might. I'm telling you.
Wow.
God is. I thank God Nazi Germany got put down, aren't you? The World War II ended the way it did. Amen? But let me tell you something. God is the one. God is the one. Because this thing ain't going to go that way until He says it's going to go that way. Amen? Okay, I'll move off of that because everybody's sitting there going, World War II, what was that? No. All you youngins in here. Verse 10. Ready? Now, most of you know, you don't know this as the New American Standard, which says what? Cease striving. Most of you know, be still. Right? That's in the King James. Cease striving or be still and what?
And know
that I am God. Amen? Or that He is God. In other words, be still, cease striving, and focus. Amen? Get your focus on God. I will, come on, everybody say He will, be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. Again, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. I looked up the words for be still or cease striving. Are you ready? It means relax. Rest. Don't stress out. That's easy to do, right? How about this? Chill. I mean, I like that even better. I got to write a new version of that verse. Chill and know that I am God. How many, but if you don't chill, you can't know. Right?
Yeah.
You can't focus if you're all in uproar. Right. Your feathers are ruffled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bark, bark. I ate fried chicken last night, son. Went to three places to get it, but we had it. But why be still? Because He will be exalted. He's got this. He's Lord of all. It's going to come down like He said it's going to come down. Are you with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
I mean, who do we think we are? Like we're going to change the narrative?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm going to pray and believe for harvest. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand with God. I'm going to be wise, and I'm going to discern the times. Absolutely. But I'm not going to focus on trying to figure it out. Because I've found out I can't figure God out like that. What He's calling us in this hour to do is turn aside and behold Him. We ended with that today in worship. Behold Him. Turn aside and behold Him. Gaze upon Him who is high and lifted up above it all. Amen. Actually, if you're in Christ, you're seated with Him. We need to get up in Daddy's lap. Amen? Come on. We need to get in Daddy's lap and start seeing things differently. Gazing upon Him. Get our heads up above the wind and the waves.
Yes.
Amen? I encourage you to learn how to be still. And it's not easy because we're in information, sight, sound, age, active calendars, day timers, something to do every moment. One of the hardest things I had to learn to do years ago was I give the greater part of my morning to seeking the Lord. And it's one of the hardest things I ever tried to do.
Yeah.
As a pastor.
Yeah.
It was easy for me just to study and prepare a sermon. But it wasn't easy just to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't know how to be still.
Yeah.
I used to say, you know, I would probably be one of those kids that, you know, would be qualified, categorized as ADD.
Yeah.
You know, growing up.
It's hard.
They didn't give you medicines for that when I was a kid. They took a paddle to your backside and they cured you that way. But anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about. You had a couple of trips to the principal's office. But anyway. So I was just thinking, you know, Lord, I want to be saying.
Paddles with holes in them.
Can I tell you, is it good to praise God? Is it good to shout praises to Him? Amen?
Yeah.
Is it good to intercede and pray and decree? Absolutely. Yeah. And I was good at that.
Come on now.
I'd take the bull by the horns, baby. Amen?
Yeah.
I was good at that. I really was. I had endurance. I could go all day. But being still, even in that, you've got to learn
how
to be still, how to chill. Amen? That was a man who said that to me. To quiet your soul. Don't turn there for the sake of time. Just trust me, it's in the Bible. In Zephaniah 3:17, you can look at it later.
Right.
It says, He will rejoice over you. Get this now, get this. With shouts of joy. Now, isn't that exciting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus rejoices over us.
Yeah.
Small crowd, big crowd. What, you know, on key or off key singing.
Yes.
He rejoices over us. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But the same verse also says this. And He will be quiet over you with His love.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? So I think there's a time, and you know, the team was led today to do that song, How He Loves Us. We haven't sung that in a long time. I love it when they hear God. That's great. That means I was hearing God when I put the message together. But it's in the stillness that we focus. It's in the stillness that we learn the love of heaven for us. Amen? It's even in prayer and worship, in our zeal to worship God and to be militant, right? And there's this time for that, but there's a time to rest. And I think they could be in the same time of prayer and worship. Not meaning that all I did today was just sit on the couch, stare at the wall. No. But coming out of that, I'm trying to get better and better at just making sure I leave my time of prayer and worship in stillness. And quietness, and just, you know, and just go before the Lord. And one thing that helps me to get to that place is to pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll sing in the Spirit. But even in that, there's a time that has to cease. There's time just to be quiet. Amen? And be still before the Lord. Y'all receive this today?
Yes.
I just really believe this is where the Lord's wanting to encourage us with, because we've got to be able to do this. We've got to be able to do these Selah breaks in our life if we're going to be able to weather through. Interestingly, when Psalm 2 comes to a close, he said, he gives words of wisdom to the rulers and the kings of the earth, to even some of the same ones who were reviling against him. And here's his advice. You ready? Worship the Lord. Rejoice with trembling. Amen?
Yes.
Kiss the Son so that you may live. Because His wrath may soon be kindled. And blessed are those who take refuge in Him. Wow. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Wow. And that psalm kind of starts out real volatile, right? But it ends with, you might want to take some time and kiss on Him. Because He'll kiss on you. Amen? And He'll love you. And you'll get to that intimacy. Let me pray over you real quick before we leave, okay? There's a couple of things I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to pray. Let me pray them over you. And then I'm going to release you, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord Jesus, just agree with me in prayer, okay? We set our focus on You. As our coming bridegroom King, we desire the oil of intimacy. Anybody want that?
Yes.
We want to be Your ready bride when You come. We set our hearts as You're redeemed to understanding and never forgetting we are redeemed by Your blood. Not only when we take communion, but any time. Any moment, we're redeemed by Your blood and the word of Your testimony. That's the mark we want to have on our lives. And Lord, we place the highest of priority on Your word. I ask You to pour out Your Spirit on us in a mighty way regarding Your word. Grant us the grace to break any obsession we have with modern media, social media, or the opinions of man. I pray, Father. May the fear of the Lord be on upon our hearts, not the fear of man, which You say in Your word is a snare. Lord, we repent and return to Your word, to abide in Your word, to face Your book, Lord. and to answer your Spirit's call to our hearts to seek your face. And Lord, I pray over this church today, we will no longer focus on the barrenness. Come on. We will no longer focus on the apostasy of this generation. We will instead lift up our eyes and see the ready harvest that is before us. We turn, Lord, from trying to figure out the rapture and merely living to get an escape. But instead, we focus on our inheritance. For we are joint heirs with you, and we ask you for the nations. Hallelujah. Say harvest.
Harvest.
And Lord, as your church, we turn away from forsaking our assembly together. And we reset and refocus our hearts on making our time together a priority. And all the more as your day draws near, that we would come and be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody with our hearts to the Lord, and blessing our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, encouraging one another. I pray, Lord, all the more. All the more as your day draws near. We say no to fear. Come on. We say no to fear. And we focus on the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. For Lord, we believe that you are the greater one who is within us than he who is in this world. Now declare this with me in prayer. I love you, Lord. I reset my heart. I refocus my eyes on you, Lord Jesus. I consecrate my heart to live for your sake and the gospel's sake, to seek first your kingdom, that you, Lord Jesus, will come and have first place in every area of my life, my family, my household. I know and believe that you cause all things to work together for my good. Faithful are you, Lord. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah! How he loves us so. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Would you sing it to him as we leave? Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you so. And Lord, I release over your people right now that we would all honor the silence of your majesty, that we would all learn to be still, to cease striving, to relax, and to receive of your presence, even in the midst of a storm, even in the intensity of a battle, that we would draw close to your heart. For we know, Lord, if we do, you will draw unto us. So I declare over each of you today, the Lord blesses you. The Lord will keep you. For the Lord causes his face to shine upon yours. For he lifts up his countenance upon yours. And he gives you, and he has left with you, his peace. Shalom be upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All of you online, we love you. Come join together with us soon. God bless. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything, just grab a neighbor's hand or come down here or whatever. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Love you guys. Hallelujah. Oh, how we love you, Lord Jesus.